Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, viewer. Editor Jace here to thank you for watching this episode of the Mind Sculptors podcast. If you enjoy this show and would like to support it, you can go to patreon.com/themindsculptors or just leave a like and comment as an offering for Algorithm Jesus.
So this last weekend was the chaos tournament for me, and I was saying how much people were commenting on and being like on Twitter and stuff, saying like, oh, well, like, yeah, but Grixis is getting so much hate lately, like, blah, 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 like, I'm having trouble playing it. Like, I didn't really experience that problem as much, and I was like, it could be a limited sample size, or it could be the fact that, you know, my list is 20 cards different than a lot of the other Tevesh Prom lists that were out there, right. And a lot of those choices just being mid-range pieces, right? Like, definitely taking out, like, I'm not on Necropotence line. That was on City of Traders. I was on Countertop, you know? Like,
yeah.
So I was like, you know, I didn't really experience a ton of that personally. And I was like, I was just playing responsible. I played my Grom. I passed the turn. You know what I mean? Then I got to the point where I need to play Tevesh. I would also play Tevesh and pass my turn, right? Like, And it's just very interesting that the pivot to just playing a few more like mid-range pieces just like prevents those blowouts as much. You know, you can still play 27 lands, which I did with my 2/5 mana commanders, and it wasn't a problem. Right?
Yeah.
I guess one game was, but
Mystic Reflection is hot.
Yeah, I don't know if that one's permanent. I didn't really see it more than once, and by that time I was already winning the game, so it was like,
yeah. It's kind of hard with cards like that where it's just like, if you don't see it enough, yeah. Then you just kind of are like, oh, this card's not very good. But then if you see it the right amount, it's like great.
Yeah.
No, I really like this list. It reminds me of like Tevet or like Tivit, if Tivit had red instead of white, honestly.
Kinda, yeah. It's like literally, yeah, I don't know. It's just, but it's nice because like I don't have to worry about having to talk to the table being like, I don't have a time, see if it's not a combo piece. You know what I mean? Like, it's just,
yeah,
I can just be like, no, I'm the like Grom draws cards. That's literally all I'm doing. Right? Like, Tevesh is a little more nuanced conversation, but that's why I, like 95% of the time will just lead Grom because I don't want to have to like get into it with people.
Yeah,
but the nuances of how my deck plays.
Yeah. No, I definitely think Grom is like the better commander here, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Tevesh is very much like an okay one color commander that gives you colors, right?
Well, so like the debate of like Timna versus Tevesh has like been had on for a long time, right? Like, obviously losing white's pretty huge. White's very strong, right? But like for me, a lot of the stuff I really like doing, Tevesh gets to do, which is like, it's an infinite mana outlet, right? So you can do Hullbreaker Horror stuff, and it does Kitten stuff. And like, Kitten is literally one of my favorite magic cards of all time. So a commander that is an outlet for that is like something I'm going to enjoy. For sure.
Yeah. No, this is really sick. I like it a lot. How did you ended up finishing first in the Swiss, right?
Yeah, so first place in the Swiss and then lost in top 16 to just a disappointing sequence of events. I will leave it at that.
Which is frustrating, but you know, hey. Yeah. You another top 16.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll take it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's I'm kind of at a point now where there are enough in-person tournaments,
yeah,
even if they're smaller, to where I'm just like kind of done playing online events. I don't
actually love online events. I I'm like weirdly in the minority with that one. But for me, like the idea that I can be in my pajamas, I can sit down, I can be comfortable in my own home. And if my match ends in 10 minutes, I can go like hang out with my girlfriend for an hour. Like that's sick, right? Like, especially if you're like at the point where, like, for example, I went 3-0 for a 5-round tournament, right? I'm not going to play those last two rounds. I'm just going to draw into the top 16, right? Which it got me first seat, right? So like in an in-person tournament, I would have to, you know, be hanging out for like 3 hours, just sitting there twiddling my thumbs in person while other people play Magic, right?
Well, that's what I end up doing, because my wife, when I do it, she's just like, cool, I'm going to go fuck off and go do something on this Saturday. And I'm like, all right, cool. And the other thing for me is like being a full-time editor is I spend so much time in this fucking office to where
I'm insane.
I don't like if I can spend time not in my office, I also don't leave my house ever. So it's just kind of like, you know, I like in-person events because it's like, I mean, I also just prefer playing in person.
Yeah, well, that part's always true, right? Like,
yeah. In-person games are just more fun. But from like the tournament perspective of it, it's just like a better all-around experience, I feel like, for me too, because it's just like, you know, if I lose really quick, cool, I'll just go in the corner and play on my phone, which is what I'm going to do here. But and I just, you know, yeah, I've been excited. I know Columbus is coming up, so I've been trying to practice a bit for Columbus. I'm not sure what I'm going to take to Columbus yet. Yeah. I've been playing around with some different things, but interested to see what really jumps out at me. Yeah. Today we brewed an interesting deck.
Yeah. So I think this came up in our set review, I want to say, right? Where we were both like, hey, we should build Kumena. That seems kind of fun.
Yeah. So specifically in our set review, we were talking about this card right here, Deep Root Pilgrimage. And we were kind of talking about that it changes the game for merfolk strategies in a very sizable way in a variety of formats, right? And so like you know, we wanted to brew it, see what we could do with it. So before we get too deep into that, I do want to take a few moments to make sure that we shout out our Patreon and make sure we remind people that if you would like to see us brew a specific deck, you can go to our Patreon and join up at the, I believe it's what, $10 tier. And we will be doing with every new set, there were going to be new commanders from that set. You'll get to pick and vote on what commander you think we should brew for each month's Brewer's Choice.
What'd you say? Standard legal sets. The definition of what a set is expanded over the years.
Whenever we do whatever, we will provide parameters for you more clearly whenever the vote comes around.
Yeah.
But you will get to vote on what we do. It'll be from whatever the most recent set is that we're doing. So if it's like, you know, if Marvel is the most recent set review or whatever, we'll do that. So whatever I think the most recent set review. But this episode we did kind of as a little bit of a pilot, like bringing the format of Brewer's Choice back. We did one last week where it was a live brew, and this one we went out and did a not a live brew. We did a brew over the weekend, and we're just gonna talk about our experience building the deck. So right off the bat, we are talking about Kumena, Tyrant of Orraska. You're unfamiliar with Kumena. Kumena is a merfolk shaman that is a 2/4 that costs one generic, a green, and a blue. It has three different activated abilities. The first one is tap another untapped merfolk you control. Mana can't be blocked this turn. The second is tap three untapped merfolk you control, draw a card. And the last one is tap five untapped merfolk you control, put a +1/+1 counter on each merfolk you control. So, as you could imagine, that immediately with Deep Root Pilgrimage was a pretty like big, like there's a lot of synergies there. So when you were brewing this card or this deck, right?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
It's Pilgrimage, D-R-I-M-A.
Well, you know, when you were brewing this, what was kind of your experience overall? Just kind of like the general idea going in before we start getting into the nitty gritty of the deck.
Yeah. So as Cal's DMs can attest, I was all over the place with this deck. I built like a mid-range version of it. And it just bored the ever living crap out of me. And I was like, okay, this is kind of your list, but like three cards different. And I was like, I'm not enjoying it. And I was like, but it was more than three cards different, but like it was similar enough. We were doing the same general thing. And you know, that list I know gave you a couple ideas, which was great. And I was like, cool. So some of my innovations from that variant, Cal can enjoy those. I'm going to jump off ship and like try and do some other stuff. So then, my other thought
was gonna go treasure diving.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, I had a lot of artifacts in my mid-range build, and I was like, okay, like maybe what if we take out all the artifacts, because I don't want to just be feeding oofs for no reason. And I was like, take out the Ice Crown Scepter wind lines, let's try a stacks version, right? And that's eventually where I landed. And calling it a stacks version is a little liberal with the definition of stacks, but we'll come back to that. And I didn't like that at first because I didn't like sort of make the choices that I made in my current build. And then last night I was cooking. I was really,
you really were.
I had this whole deck that was, and we can throw it in the description of this video, so we're not robbing people of it, but like, it was basically like build your own Bolas's Citadel with the Realm Walker and the other merfolk that allows you to cast merfolk off the top. It's running like 25 lands with the Phyrexian Altar. So you like play the merfolks, tap them to draw cards, and then sack all of them so you get the mana back, and then you play more. And it did not work at all. It did not work at all in the sense that like it was not consistent, right? Like I will still goldfish this deck and have fun with it, but it goes off like turn five.
This is one of the things where it's to kind of one of the struggles I had with the deck is when you're building it, you because it specifies merfolk, you really have to, in ways that other decks don't, right? It really pigeonholes you.
Yeah.
And so you don't play as many of the other, there's lots of good merfolk, don't get me wrong. Yeah. But you don't get to play maybe nearly the same amount of other good cards.
Yeah.
And so you have to also have a with this deck, no matter how you build it, you need to have a critical mass of merfolk in order for it to work.
Right.
Which is something that is very unique to this. Mm-hmm. I felt like this was a deck that reminded me a lot of like if Kinnan went wide and tall.
I also did that actually your statement there reminded me, because you're pigeonholed to merfolk. There was one point when I was in full cook mode last night where I was actually going to build a version of this deck that ran the Maskwood Nexus Arcane Adaptation and Xenograft, and that was not going to play like more than three actual merfolk in the list, and it was going to be all of the type changers. And the only reason I didn't commit to that version of the deck, which I think could have been at least an interesting thought experiment, was basically the idea that there wasn't enough consistency with tutoring those pieces out of your library, especially because two of them are enchantments. Like Maskwood Nexus is a 4-mana artifact, so you can get there.
You're in blue. It's not that hard to get it out. Right?
It's not, but it's the consistency of getting it and then getting it efficiently early and then having a game plan online that converts, you know, like when do you get to the point where that's okay to convert into, and then if that gets countered, like,
well,
and there are a lot of ifs and buts.
The other tension with that too is Kumena is a deck at its base level that, so no matter what creature type it is going to want, it does need to have a high density of creatures in order to function.
Right.
And so if you, so that's its baseline. Then if you decide you want to go into this Maskwood Nexus kind of route, you're now eating into the other pieces of the deck because you can't take away from the creatures.
Right. Exactly. So, yeah, a couple of flaws. I mean, I think that there are smart brewers who could go in and make a functional version of that, right? It just, I don't think it would be as consistent as one would like it to be.
Yeah. I also think that I want to highlight this commander because I think there's a lot of potential with it. And it's a commander that has been around for a while, and I think a lot of people have tried their hand at. And now I'm looking at it and I'm like, perhaps ours aren't the builds, right? But I think that now there is enough tools where you can justify building this and working on this in a like committed fashion.
And genuinely, I think the thing that like really excites me about this deck in particular, and it's one of the things I'm playing in my list, is the combination of specifically Deep Root Pilgrimage and Earthcraft. Because to me, that feels like you can do something kind of busted, although it does say non-token, so it's not like you can just like keep going off with the Earthcraft thing, but like it is specifically this ability for deep Root Pilgrimage is not Squirrel's Nest, right? It's not broken with all this stuff, but I don't know, there's just like a lot of potential with Kumena and with Earthcraft and stuff like that where I'm just like, oh, there's like so many busted things you can do with
there
it.
Is like, and that's the thing is the other thing too is there's so many different things that you can do because of the third ability with the counters where, you know, depending on the situation, like something I didn't include, but I kind of wish I had in retrospect is Paradise Mantle. And because you, I think the Scepter package in this is one of the most like interesting things in the deck. And it's my pick for like the coolest Scepter deck, if that makes sense. It definitely, it's like if you've ever wanted to play Dramatic Scepter and do it in style, this is how you do it.
sure.
But let's take a look at this deck. Let's start off with yours and let's look at your creatures here. And so you're running here pretty early. You are on, it looks like, pretty much every mana dork you can be.
Yeah, it's most of the good ones, right? I'm not like Arbor Elf or Boreal Druid or anything like that. As I mentioned, like the idea for this specific variant was to be a little staxier, right? So because of that, I'm playing like actual lords in my list. Which I know is like of all the lists I made, this is the only one that did that. And it's specifically because like if you're going to like be slowing down the game, be tempoing things out, sometimes it just makes sense to play an on tempo like Merfolk and just turn them sideways, right? And the idea was, especially with like cards like Oof and Back to Basics and stuff like that, like there is definitely points in the game where it is just smart to just start murdering people.
Well, and that's the thing is the other thing that I think is important to highlight with this too is this deck gets to take advantage of untap like creature or like untap all your creature cards in ways that other decks just don't.
For sure. Yeah. I'm actually like now I'm curious to see like what happens if I even just like working on this variant of the deck, but like take the Lords out and put a few more tempo Merfolk in here. I don't know. Like this list excites
me. I like the Lords a lot, especially so you have, you know, the Island Walk stuff. I actually, if I were going to, the only adjustment I would make to this is I think like I forget what the card is, but there's one where whenever it attacks, you can make turn a land into an island. And I think giving like just like pointing around the table and making sure everybody gets an island so that you can always get around is like maybe good, maybe not. This is like a very true to like this definitely is a deck that looks like Merfolk in other formats.
Yes, absolutely. I think this is the closest to like Legacy Merfolk you're ever going to get in CEDH for sure.
Yeah. What are your like big shout out cards in this list?
Okay. Yeah. So the cards that are highly impactful are obviously Deeper Pilgrimage, which is like we talked about that. One that I know both of our decks share is Unctus, right? Unctus is like very, very strong in this deck because if you ever get a Kiora's Follower, it's just a two card.
It's game over.
Right. The two card loot your entire deck combo, right?
Yeah.
But on top of that, like if you have like three Merfolk out with Kumena, you can like, okay, yeah, I'm going to tap three to draw a card, and then you can stack the sugar. So you're like, yeah, loot, draw. And then it's like, okay, like that starts to be a real amount of card advantage and card selection as time goes on, right? So Unctus is obviously super strong. I have Fallow Sage in my list, which is literally whenever it becomes tapped, you draw a card. So, you know, the curve of like Kumena, Fallow Sage just becomes like every turn, draw a card at minimum. Because you can tap it for the Kumena's first ability. But then as soon as you get a third Merfolk, then suddenly you are drawing two cards because you're tapping three to draw a card. Fallow Sage just triggers, then draws a card. And then that doesn't even include what happens if you get your Merc Fiend Liege or your Seaborn Muse out. There's definitely like, I don't know. It's hard to describe. I think one of the secret MVPs, I think, of the deck is actually Drowner Initiate. It's in the one drop slot. It's one of these one drop one Merfolk, right? And it's, it looks like nothing, but I feel like this card is going to get people so often because it says whenever a player plays a blue spell, you can pay one and make someone mill two, right? So like any top deck tutor, as soon as this is out, is invalid. It does not matter because like your opponent can cast a counter spell. You're like, all right, also mill their tutor. Like any of that nonsense. And I just feel like also as soon as you get to like that late game, it becomes an actual like win con.
Right.
Same thing with Grimoire Thief is another one where you tap, you exile the top three from your opponent's card deck. But Grimoire Thief also is like really good in a multiplayer format, right? Because you are then exiling a bunch of cards from players' libraries and like, say you mill over a Force of Will from player A's deck, some player B goes to cast a Force of Will, protect their combo, you sack the Grimoire Thief and boom, you counter their spell.
The fact that it exiles, this is the most, the least good webcam card I've ever seen. Oh, holy awful. Shit. It's actually would be a nightmare to play on webcam.
Oh yeah, this is one you cannot play over webcam for sure. Yeah, that's it's kind of cringe.
That actually gives me nightmares.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I think the core of this variant of the deck can really be described in the enchantments, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
So if you look, there's the core of like Counterbalance, Earthcraft, Arcane Laboratory, Back to Basics, and Intruder Alarm, right? Like, so that is a wide variety of like what this deck is trying to do, but all of it at the same time, right? So Back to Basics and Counterbalance, obviously slowing the game down. Back to Basics and Earthcraft, meaning we're playing a lot of basic lands in this deck and a lot of ways to get those basic lands. Arcane Lab should tell you a little bit about what I'm trying to do here, right? It is this is 100% a tempo deck, right? The longer the game gets drawn out, Kumena does not care about casting spells. Kumena cares about maybe one Merfolk being cast per rotation, right? You are just trying to boop, tap, draw a card. All right, done. Hey, we're good. Pass the turn, right? And if I have a Seaborn Muse out, yeah, I'll have some mana. That might be necessary for some counter spells. If not, boop, tap my Merfolk, draw a card, pass turn.
The other thing that's like, important to note, though, is like there are multiple Merfolk that let you tap Merfolk or sacrifice Merfolk in counter spells. And it's just like...
Yeah. Yeah,
like Merfolk really just don't need to cast spells. It's very wild.
Yeah, yeah. I'm on Damping Sphere and Arcane Lab, which is like the two null rod or the two rule of laws you get in these colors. The other one is like Mana Maze, but Mana Maze is actually really easy for like very aggressive decks to
take advantage of.
Right. So I'd rather not.
We're also playing Quest for Renewal, which is a card that I think most people would look at and be like, what's this got to do? But remember, our deck taps a lot.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that card gets turned on in two rotations of the table every time.
Not even. Like,
yeah,
it could be even faster. Like, it does not take it very long.
No, not at all. But yeah, like, so it is this mix here of like, yeah, and I'm also like playing counter spells too, right? Like, so right. I'm not just like messing around and just like not doing anything. Now, a big thing with this list is like, how do you deal with Bowmasters? I feel like is like a big question for this deck, sure. Right? So I do kind of have that answered in the creature base, not like answered to the point where I'm like, I'm totally fine and nothing could go wrong. But like, I'm not running. Kira. Yeah. So I'm running Kira and actually Kopala. Kopala was added specifically as a way to deal with these things and gives basically all your merfolks ward too. Mm-hmm. Or not even ward because it's not a trigger.
It doesn't
cost two more.
Kopala doesn't hit. What's it called? Bowmasters, unfortunately.
Abilities your opponents,
activate.
Oh no.
Yeah. This is good. It's still good, but it's not Kira. Kira is very good.
Okay. Coppola's going away now. I'm making the switch live. We're doing it live, everybody.
Oh no.
Good call, Cal. All right, we're putting Sylvian in. Sure. It gives Ellie Merfolk Ward 1. Same thing. Same conversation. And also can draw cards.
Which card is this?
Sylvian of Sea and Sky, the god.
Oh, yeah. That absolutely should be in.
Yeah. Yep. It wasn't in because Kopala took the slot, but apparently I can't read. And now Cal wins. So congratulations. So point is, I have answers for Bowmasters.
Yeah.
Also, the lords are technically answers for Bowmasters in a sense as well, right?
Yeah. Like, I mean, this is the other thing that I don't think a lot of people think like realize is that because of the lords and because like the like there are just so many lords for merfolk too that the combination of them is just a lot of power on your mm-hmm. side of the board. And you also have like Merkfiend Liege too, which is a lord. So it's just like, and it untaps all your shit. So it's just like you have a lot of ways of just being like, okay, yeah, whatever, to Bowmasters or things like that.
Yeah, I do like the idea of like Merkfiend Liege smork your opponents by like killing one of them in combat and then being like, and now I untap to draw some cards.
Yep. It definitely like the Seedborn Muse, Merkfiend Liege, all those untap sort of cards really make the deck. It kind of fixes the I want to go aggro and also tap problem because you can just not feel bad about going in and then, you know, going sideways to kill somebody and then untapping. I think that's a huge thing.
Yeah, that's kind of the conceit of the deck for sure. Is definitely that idea that like we can merc people and then also still just do our draw on cards things and stuff like that. And also if the board state gets gummed up, you're like, sure, we'll tap, add some counters to our stuff and pass.
One card that I'd really like to highlight as a card that I think is actually just generically good and might be worth looking at more often is Merfolk Trickster. This is a card that I actually, the more that I've goldfished with this, the more I was like, is this actually worth maybe considering in like other decks? Because it's like the thing that I think people miss with this is in your head, it's just like, oh, it just taps it down, right? Mm-hmm. But it also does the Tidebinder thing where it also strips it of abilities. Mm-hmm. And like, let's say there, you know, this is a really good answer against Winota's. It's a really good answer. I mean, that is cancer, but good answer to like Kinnan decks. Kinnan decks are going off. Hey, I'm going to tap down your Kinnan. And now it loses all of its abilities. Now your mana rocks are just normal. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There's a lot of really good like use cases of that card. And I think that this is a card that's like maybe better than most people think.
Yeah, I think it's pretty decent. I think like the idea of being like, okay, you know, wheel on the stack, make your bowmasters invalid. Like,
yeah. The other thing too, with that is I also think Kira is, pretty good also. Like, I think maybe I like Najeela lists could use Kira in a pretty impactful way. But they're just like cards in here where I'm like, hey, these are good with Merfolk, but they also could just be generically good cards.
Mm-hmm. I also can see, like, I feel like Lull Mage Mentor is maybe a little underplayed in general too. Like, yeah. I know it's like a little Merfolk specific, but the idea of like we play a lot of counter spells. I don't know, like free bodies every time that happens is not bad, but 3-man investment, including double blue pip, is also genuine. A real cost. So
if it was like a Timna deck, I could see that, like a really grindy Timna deck.
Yeah, like this actually really feels like something. Yeah, absolutely.
So let's hop over to let's hop over to my list here.
Yeah,
and take a look at mine. Mine is not doing what you were doing, although I liked a lot of what you're doing, and I may steal from it a little bit. I am doing much more of a, it's sort of like a build your own Kinnan deck almost. Uh-huh, so the idea with this is you're going to be playing big top end cards that are payoffs for what you're doing with Kumena, because you're going to be able to draw a lot of cards. You're going to be able to make a lot of mana because of stuff like down here in that's the other thing I think is important with mine is I'm playing Agatha's Soul Cauldron, because one of the things that this deck does really well is puts a lot of 1/1 counters on stuff.
Right.
And so you can take advantage of Soul Cauldron in a really unique way. Also taking advantage of Springleaf Drum, where you are going to be tapping Merfolk to make mana and, Deep Root Pilgrimage, that makes me 1/1s. That's neat.
Oh my god, I just realized that with you can put counters on your entire board, and if you have like a curse catcher in your graveyard, then suddenly every single one of your creatures is a four spike, right?
Like, yeah.
That's actually kind of insane.
I don't know that I have curse catcher in mind. Or yeah, I do.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, I thought I did. It also, all of your creatures become miscallers. And Kinnans, and you know, like Thrasioses, and so on and so forth. Like, yeah, it's just like Soul Cauldron in this is really, really good.
All about it.
So, my big two payoff cards are Hullbreaker Horror and Tishana. I actually am kind of starting to think that the build that I'm more of a fan of is probably somewhere in between your deck and mine. Because I think that what you're doing is very much in line with like what the deck wants to do in, or what the commander kind of wants to do in general.
Sure.
But I also think that having like big payoff spells definitely help push it over the top, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I don't know that I get Tishana specifically in the deck, if I'm being honest.
So, okay. So you're making a ton of creatures, right?
Yeah.
So it enters the battlefield and you draw a card for each creature you control. It's also power and toughness is equal to that. So you're gonna just draw it, like it's effectively like Peer into the Abyss or Nahs or something like that, right? Where it's just a huge, it's a big draw spell. Hullbreaker Horror is definitely the like win condition piece,
right.
Tishana is the big like draw spell, because it's like, okay, I have a ton of mana, I have a ton of like creatures, I'm gonna go draw like 15-20 cards.
You really think you're gonna draw that many?
I mean, I was consistently drawing like 12 cards with it last night when I was gold fishing, so especially once you get like Deep Root Waters out, you just like kind of spit creatures onto the board. So that was kind of my experience with it. I don't know how happy I am with the list overall. I think it's kind of interesting. Mine is really leaning into the Isochron Scepter stuff. So mine has multiple ways of accessing Icecron Scepter. So yeah. You have War of Invention, you have Transmute Artifacts, you know, multiple ways to consistently get that card down.
Also worth noting, Sigil Tracer is in the deck as well.
Yes. Sigil Tracer is, there you go, is another payoff for Dramatic Reversal.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where I think that the kind of Dramatic Scepter thing is very good. I don't know if it's maybe the best thing, but there's a lot of outlets for it, which is why I like it specifically. And so going with that, I was like, okay, so we have Thrasios as an outlet, we have Kinnan as an outlet, and we have our commander as an outlet. So it's like, there's just, oh, we also have Unctus as an outlet, right? So it's just like, there are multiple outlets for Dramatic Scepter in the deck. So it felt very like worth playing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Some of my like more niche cards that I was a big fan of was Benthic Biomancer. You are putting 1/1 counters on things pretty consistently. And so like every time you like tap five, put a counter on, it's like just passively drawing cards on top of that. So I don't know if it's the best, but it definitely
definitely couldn't hurt.
It felt like free value almost. Like it almost to me, like it feels like it fills like a Training Grounds role almost. Where it's like an extra card when you activate instead of just one. So in instead of like
work with the draw ability, it only works with the counter ability.
So that's what I'm saying though, is it's like so you get that and the card instead of just the power. So you don't have to sit there and go, do I want the power or do I want the power or do I want the cards? You just go, I would like both, please.
Absolutely.
So that is kind of my overall look at the list. What are your thoughts kind of generally on how we came through this?
I think it's really interesting, right? So you can see like the deviations of like, okay, there's this mid-range variant, right, that is trying to just do the Scepter stuff as cleanly as possible. If I'm being honest, like one of the first things I'm thinking about post working on this is like, I think Sigil Tracer is probably just underplayed. Like the idea that you can Isochron Scepter combo while technically being under a rule of law or like through heuristic study and stuff like that. Like I'm like, Now the downside is you need another wizard, right? With this deck, there's so many incidental wizards. It's trivial.
It's bizarre how many merfolk are wizards actually.
Yeah, it's just a thing, I think, because they're all blue, right?
They're
all just wizards. But yeah, no, I think that's it's definitely an interesting sort of thought process to go down. And I like this because it, once again, it's one of these scenarios where because we're working in lower colors, because we're limited to what the function can be in these archetypes, we're forced to sort of take steps outside of that normal thought pattern. Right. And because of that, I feel like we have the luxury of being able to discover something that we didn't need to discover. Right. Now I guess we didn't really talk about in the other list, and I think it's in both of our lists, is the Intruder Alarm and Deep Root Pilgrimage combo, right?
Intruder Alarm was the first card that I saw in this list and was immediately like, I don't know how you play this deck without Intruder Alarm. Like Intruder Alarm just like if you get that and Deep Root Pilgrimage, the game is now officially over.
Right. So for those who don't know, if you have, I think you have one Merfolk plus Kumena, I think that should just win. Because it's, every creature.
So yeah, it's just because you tap it makes a creature.
Makes a Deep Root Pilgrimage.
Which triggers Intruder Alarm. Now you can, now you have three. Now you can draw a card, trigger, untap. So you just have those two cards and it just goes off.
So to be clear, with that sequencing, what you actually need to do is, so you make, because Deep Root Pilgrimage says whenever one or more creatures are tapped, you make a 1/1, right? So say you have Kumena and one other Merfolk, right?
It needs to be a non-token Merfolk, which is important.
Non-token Merfolk, yep. So you go, I'm going to tap, I'm going to make a 1-1. There's going to be a Deep Root Pilgrimage trigger on the stack. That will resolve. It'll untap everything. Actually, no, there's no sequencing thing. Yeah, because it'll just untap it then. Yeah, yeah.
It just untaps everything.
You draw your card, right? It untaps everything, and then you go from there.
You add one every time.
Yeah, it will untap everyone's creatures, but like, I think there are very few scenarios nowadays where that is a problem.
Like, even Kinnan decks, I'm not afraid of untapping them that much.
Right, because it's mostly their artifacts that I feel like they're getting a lot of mana from. Like, sometimes they'll have enough creatures, and that's something to look out for, but 90% of the time, it's not really. And so this is the sad part about this deck, is that I think that combo is actually really sick and like, the cleanest part of the deck, but they're both enchantments.
Yep, very hard to tutor them.
In Simic, it is impossible. Like, I am playing Muddle the Mixture and Drift of Phantasms in this list, specifically so I can go find these cards, but it is so hard to get them.
Yeah. That is kind of one of the frustrations of the deck, but once you get them, that's also why I think playing as many draw engines as you can are huge, because like, once you start drawing cards, it's kind of hard to stop drawing cards is kind of the thing. So that's, I don't know. I think this is so cool. Like, that combo specifically had me just go like, whoa, you don't even need to put a spell on the stack and you just draw your deck.
Right.
And the thing is once you get to a certain point too, because you can do this on like people's end steps, you are able to just go, okay, so I made all of these things. All right, now I'm just going to pump them too. It's truly ridiculous.
Yeah. You can literally give them just infinite power, because every single time you're doing that, you're creating at least one more body.
Yep.
Seems pretty good.
Yeah.
infinite 1/1's infinite power is probably a good way to win the game. Fun fact.
Yes. Big fan of this overall. I definitely, this is a deck that I'm going to build, and I'm going to try to refine, because I think there's like something here.
So for me, it's specifically the combination of Unctus plus Kumena, Deep Root Pilgrimage, and some of the other like tempo pieces, like all of those like together make me go, okay, this is definitely doing something other decks aren't doing.
Yes.
So it's worth at least exploring.
Yeah. The thing, and the other thing too is it does a lot of stuff that is just very powerful with cards that are like already okay. You know what I mean? Like, and so it's like, you get to use stuff like Thrasios or Thassa's Oracle in different ways.
Yeah.
And I think it's very, very cool, and I'm a big fan of it. Also, just a reminder, people, Tashana's Tidebinder is fucking really good in this deck.
Yeah.
It's also reasonably okay in most decks, but you know, whatever. I don't know. We're at 40 minutes. We've talked a decent bit about these decks, and I don't know. I like them. I can only say it so many times. So yeah, that's kind of what we thought about Kumena overall. If you have ideas on what you would like to see be featured on this again, join our $10 tier and you can suggest stuff, as well as vote on what the monthly one for the the month will be for every new set that comes out. I know I did a really good job of you know,
well, the monthly one for the month really sold me.
The monthly one for the month. And now I'm going to give our viewers a migraine, but whatever. I think that is cool. What are some things that, as far as brewing, we've done two brew episodes back to back. What are some of the things, like, as we've brewed, that you've kind of taken away from these like last two little bits of things that we've done?
I mean, honestly, I think there was a period of time there where, you know, I've been fluctuating between like sort of like these explosive decks and these good decks and these high synergy decks and stuff like that. And as a deck builder, it's like, I mean, first of all, doing exercises like this is so good for me. I just think as a deck builder and as a Magic player and as a competitive Magic player, I think there was a period of time where we had like intense tournaments, like back to back to back to back to back. And mm-hmm. I would be like, I started just playing like these decks that I knew well enough, right? And I stopped like brewing in the space because I didn't have any online tournaments to test out my decks and things like that, right? I didn't really have a lot of time to like play casual pickup games, right? So in that space, I found myself like, you know, leaning towards more conventional wisdom with a lot of these things and not being happy with those choices, right?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, while telling people in coaching to not do that, right? And then, so now that like doing and exploring these types of archetypes and like going through and like testing something that just probably won't work and then figuring out, okay, but what actually makes it work?
What part, right? What like, part from that did work?
Yes, exactly. And like going through and like doing that and hammering it out, and like that stuff leads to results. That stuff leads to interesting decks. It leads to innovation in the format. And it's not easy.
Yeah,
it's not at all. But that doesn't mean it's not worth doing. Like I would much rather spend 10 hours looking at a deck that frustrates me to make something playable out of what some people would assume is a piece of shit than sit there and just be like, all right, I'll just sleeve up Blue Farm again and go to this tournament and not have fun the whole time. I mean, although I do like, but yeah, that's not you know, I mean, it's just like copy and paste like something someone else is doing, right? Like that's not why I got into CDH in the first place, and that's right. Not why I do what I do, right? So it's nice to just be able to just flex those muscles, to be able to do a brewing exercise and to be able to be like, all right, let's see what's here, what can we mess around with, right?
Yeah, I really liked it on the axis of both of these weeks. It was stuff that I'm not like.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Well versed in, if that makes mm-hmm. sense. Mm-hmm. Like we were mm-hmm. brewing outside of my comfort zone, which is yeah. blue white. And so there's a lot of stuff where I found myself going, oh man, I could do this. Oh shit, I don't have white. Mm-hmm. And it really made me like need to push my boundaries as far as like mm-hmm. what mm-hmm. things you can do. And then I found cards that I was like, hey, I actually just like this card. Like Merfolk yeah. Trickster was one of the cards where I was just like, I just like the card. Mm-hmm. And it was like a nice little pleasant surprise of,
yeah,
hey, this feels pretty okay. And I like being able to do that, and because I feel like very similarly, I tend to play a lot of the same control piles kind of repackaged mm-hmm. over and over again. And yeah. so playing something that is, or even brewing something that is just wildly different than what I normally yeah. play has been really like refreshing to mm-hmm. just be like, mm-hmm. all right, how do I basically build the most functional deck with this commander?
Right. Right.
And I think that's also why like commanders like this are interesting from yeah. like a brewing perspective, because mm-hmm. it's a commander that forces you in a direction.
Yeah.
Whereas like, you know, this is something I wanted to talk about too. And we were talking about this because we were kind of talking about this a little bit in our DMs yesterday with it is a deck that sends you in a very specific direction.
Right, right.
No matter how many variations we do, we're all going to have some amount of similarity mm-hmm. because of the fact that the deck, just the way the commander is just like, go in this direction.
Yeah, play Merfolk. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. And so I think that's kind of like an interesting way to play. Like even Arden, there's just mm-hmm. so much variety in what you can do with that, that mm-hmm. even just saying go play equipment isn't yeah. really like pushing you the in a direction.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. Interesting stuff. Yeah. Definitely.
So as far as stuff that is going on, some of the housekeeping stuff, obviously, you know, you little YouTube gremlins, make sure you like and subscribe to this video. Mm-hmm. Gotta do that so that we can keep the lights on mm-hmm. and, you know, keep doing this on the weekly basis that we do. Also, mm-hmm. if you want to even do more to help that, go over to the Patreon, like we've said multiple times, yep. and that helps us a lot. Even if you just want to join and do, you know, just pop in the Discord, it's very much appreciated. Ian, tell folks about your coaching and where they can find you for coaching.
Yeah, hi. So my name is Ian of the YouTube channel Comedian MTG. I also can be found over there at youtube.com/comedianmtg, and I provide CEDH coaching. So if you want to get coaching from a player with more wins on different decks than any other person for the 2 years in a row, you should come check it out.
Yeah. And any events that you're going to be at over the next coming weeks?
So yeah, winter is a little weird because it's not a lot of like platinum level events as far as like the Eminence circuit is going, but there's a lot of like other stuff, right? So I think there's, I guess by the time you're hearing this, the weekend that has just passed, there was the Lotus Con and online invitational that I am likely to play,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not sure. It depends on if family's here for Thanksgiving. After that's PAX Unplugged, which is in my backyard, basically. So I'm definitely going to be seeing people and being social during that weekend. And then there's some online tournaments that are coming up. And then there's another one at the location where they held Festival of Nights, which is like a little bit smaller than that one. But I think it's still like an Eminence Gold level event in Wilkes-Barre, which is not that far away from me. It's like 90 minutes. So definitely going to be running out to that one.
Yeah.
So it's a bunch of stuff around there.
Nice. I will be trying to make it out to Columbus mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. we're going to be trying to make it out to or no, excuse me, not Columbus, Cincinnati. The first weekend of the new year. And then we're both going to be at MagicCon Chicago.
Chicago. Ooh. Yeah.
That
feels like a millennia away.
It really does.
Like, I know it's like the next like big Magic event, but like that feels like 1,000 years from now.
But I'm gonna do my due diligence, plug it,
yeah,
and make sure you come head out. You can go get your tickets and all that shit over, forget what the link is. It's like MTG Festivals or something like that.
Sure.
But get that and you can come hang out with Ian and I.
I also think we're going to be doing a thing like we did at Vegas where that Lua ran, which is like a come play CEDH with content creators. And it's going to be like last time it was like myself, Lua playing with Power, Play to Win, like a bunch of people who like, you know, pretty decent sized audiences. And so I know, Cal, I think you've talked to Lua about
coming
for that. So, yeah, we'll definitely be there. And it's definitely catered towards like getting people into the format. Right.
Yeah.
But also, there was a point like halfway through the day where people were like, yeah, we just want to play with you guys. I'm like, okay, sure. Like, but we'll be around all weekend, I think.
Yeah, that'll be a good time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So as we are leaving today, I would like to take a moment and just, you know, reflect. Mm-hmm. On the fact that I'm turning 30 in like not even 2 weeks. And I don't know that I'm entirely prepared for that.
Okay. Okay.
So your wisdom as a younger than me person.
I like a year for sure. Like a year,
whatever. we graduated the same year though, so you know, what is your advice for turning 30?
yes. You know, keep on that grind. You keep the money up. Set. Make that money. Get them hoes. Sell. Get that cash. that's what the turn 30 is all about.
It's eat ass, suck a dick, and sell drugs. Sell drugs.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh my goodness. This has been the Mayan Sculptors. I'm Cal.
I'm Ian.
Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.
Bye.